Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's safety chat.
Hi, this is Nick Coya with Portage County Safety Council. Today, I'm joined by Steve Ludwig with Rockwell Automation, who just finished giving a presentation at the Portage County Safety and Health Expo. His presentation was entitled Evolving Workforce, which is really an interesting area that I have some interest in, and I think the listeners would really enjoy getting some feedback on that. So, Steve, welcome and thank you for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
So, one of the things that I've noticed through the Bureau and through the consulting is that I'm seeing that millennials are having twice the injuries of any other generation. Not maybe dollar amount-wise, but just number of actual injuries. Are you seeing similar trends in the research and the studies that you've done?
Sure. We're seeing, and I don't think this is necessarily different from previous generations as they've aged. You can see it in, for example, car insurance rates where they drop off at 25. And that's because based on the risk profile, people under age 25 or who have relatively less experience have higher acute injury rates. They tend to put their hands in the wrong places and just do silly things. I know I did when I was under 25. So it's generally attributed to their inexperience, hesitance to ask questions, and frankly, just not an intuitive life history of understanding the risks that they're undertaking.
So the concern then becomes, because we're seeing this number of injuries, and obviously employers don't want anybody hurt, and it has a financial impact on them also, how do we combat this? What are some of the recommendations? How are you combating this issue of the younger workforce? What's the approach there?
Younger workforce and older workers then later on in life, in their work life, have different injury profiles or different risks to what they do, even in the same exact job and position. For younger workers, those injuries tend to be much more acute, so they're putting their hands in the wrong places or just taking risks that they shouldn't take. And generally, the way to remediate that is through machinery that is interactive with them, that is collaborative in ways that they don't really have to think about the safety and the risks. So an example that I was using earlier is about collaborative applications, where, for example, there is a robot, and historically, we would build a fence around that entire robot. Today, you can build that into a collaborative application where a sensor, a scanner, will measure the distance that individual is from the robot. And as they get closer, it will give them a warning and will slow the robot down. And as they get into a certain area, it will bring that robot to a safe stop so that they can actually interact with it. They can put something in the gripper or they can feed the pallet where it's going to draw from, for example. Then the robot will come up to speed without doing lockout tagout. So it improves both safety and productivity along the way. And it's pretty ergonomic for them to use.
So we're taking some of that new technology today and applying it to create a safer work environment for everybody, but it really works well with that younger generation too, because then they can interact with that.
That's correct. And I'd add that it's not just a matter of age, it's more a matter of experience. So we see the same kind of a risk profile with, for example, contractors who come into a new facility and are temporary workers there, and they've been on the job less than maybe 30 days. So we actually look at people who have been doing a job for less than 1 year as the highest risk category.
That's interesting to think about. And this is a great way. So what are some other best practices that we can deal with the younger workforce or that young experience that comes into the facility? What are some best practices that you're seeing out there?
Well, what we're seeing is, you know, historically, the number of laborers, and particularly skilled laborers, is an all-time low and is projected to continue to decline. So manufacturers have to do the most with each body that they have. And that's going to mean a very diverse workforce from what they may have seen in the past. The person you have on one shift may be a healthy, tall, right-handed guy, and the person on the next shift may be short with a bad back and left-handed. I'm left-handed, so I'll play to that one. But as a left-hander, using that example, the way I use tools, I have to be a little bit ambidextrous because all the safeties are set up for right-handed people on hand tools, for example. So you have to have more ergonomically designed machines with more contemporary safety systems like the collaborative application I was just referencing in order to keep people safe without them having to really think about it too much. I often ask myself, and we had a bit of this discussion during the presentation, about why would somebody willingly place themselves at risk? And usually it almost always comes down to one of two things. One is they don't think they're going to get hurt. And we all determine what our level of acceptable risk is on a day-to-day basis. We drove here today knowing that accidents happen on the street. We don't believe it's going to happen to us today or we wouldn't get in the car. So people don't think that they're going to get hurt. The second thing is that they think overriding the safety system or bypassing it in some way is going to help them do their job faster or easier. And so one of the nice things about contemporary technologies is that they don't really have to think about it too much. In a collaborative application, application is an example of that. They don't have to think about, well, if I do this, then I'm going to have to lock that machine out, which will take downtime. I might get in trouble for that. The culture here is all about productivity. You can be both productive and safe, and it doesn't take away from your personal productivity level or make your job more difficult. So the ergonomic design of safety systems and the use of modern technology and applications. And it all starts, and I really want to emphasize this, it all starts with a risk assessment being done early in the process, because you have to identify those risks to everyone who comes into contact with the machine, what those risks are, and then there's a hierarchy to designing that risk out. Do you put a fixed guard around it? Do you use interlocks? And then you come down to the training procedures and personal protective equipment. But there's a hierarchy to that, and the remediation all comes from that safety assessment.
That's a big piece that I see. In fact, I was just visiting an employer this week, and one of the concerns we had was from maintenance staff talking about, why do I need to lock down this machine? I'm changing out a mold. The door's open. There's a fear of a safety failure related to that interlock. They're not control reliable circuitry. So right now you're going to have to lock out, tag out. But then the conversation becomes, well, is there a way we can engineer this out or change this with new technology? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes the employer's job safer, changes for the employer themselves too. And a big part of that, I think, also is culture. What is the culture? You know, if the culture is felt that production is more important than safety, obviously you're going to get people bypassing those things. So if we can find a way that we can continue to push production at a good rate and be safe, I think it's a win-win for the organization.
It absolutely is. And we've gone through three different studies with a couple of different research groups on that topic, because we're very interested in safety and productivity and how they're related. And what we found repeatedly is the top 20%, the best-in-class performers, have 5 to 7% higher OEE, 2 to 4% less unscheduled downtime, and less than half the injury rates of average manufacturers. And it's all because they make use of alternative measures. There is it's called the OSHA minor servicing exemption. Mm-hmm. So they make use of that for normal production activities. So there are ways that you can clear jams where you can do minor ongoing activities under certain conditions. But some of that, coming back to your point, is about culture. For the maintenance person, a lot of maintenance activities, in fact, most maintenance activities, do require lockout, tagout. But in some cases, you need the machine running.
Right.
So there are means to do that safely, but it relies a lot more on culture than technology. If you're going to override that safety device, it can't be done in a way that doesn't have a procedure associated with it that's very strict and strictly obeyed to make sure that you do this part of the process, then you step away from the machine runs. You have to be very, very determined and do it the same way reliably. So there has to be a process to it.
There definitely does. And it has to be followed. And we need to address those during those risk assessments like you talked about. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, another example, I was in a facility and maintenance needed to see the machine running and there was no process in place. So their response was every maintenance employee had an interlock that they tore apart and put the key on their key ring. And when I walked by, they got their keys plugged in running the machine. You know, we took a time out. We had a conversation about this, but they're going to find a way to do it. So we need to deal with that.
I need to interject this because we had that conversation in there about the creative ways that people override safety systems. And it's a constant kind of a moving target. Interlocks is a great example because you watch people walk around with magnets on their keychains or something like that. So we've introduced an interlock that has mated pairs that are serialized. So if one side comes away, it knows the difference between just a regular magnet and what the other mated portion of that interlock is supposed to look like. Right. Now, inevitably, somebody's going to figure out a way to override that, I'm sure, because people do that. But it's kind of, like I said, it's an ongoing moving target, and you have to find ways to make it intuitive and easy for people to use the safety system.
So as we make all these technological changes, one of the big concerns that I hear, especially when I present on the aging workforce or engaging millennials in the workforce, is this. How does this evolution really affect the older generations? Because technology may not always be the area that they want to go with. So how are we seeing injuries there first? And then how are we combating that?
It's a great question. Because as you look at the actual injury rates by age group, it goes way up to age 25. And then there's a dramatic drop off. But there's a little bit of an uptick at around age 65. But those types of injuries are different. They tend to be more musculoskeletal, repetitive stress kind of injuries, which can be both more expensive and can be career ending. So if you want to keep those skilled laborers and the people with a lot of experience in your workforce, you need to protect them from that. And again, that goes to ergonomic machine design, making it easy for them to use. But you brought up a second point, which is how older people and younger people absorb information, which is often very different.
Correct.
Older people have the advantage, older operators in particular, have the advantage of being familiar with that machine. A gentleman from Georgia Pacific gave me a quote some years ago, and I think I'll get it correct, but it is that a historic lack of accidents does not show a current presence of safety. It merely means you've been faster than the machine. What you're really trying to manage is not safety, which is traditionally measured by the number of injuries, which is a failure.
Right.
What you're really trying to manage is risk.
Correct.
But you're trying to lower those risk factors to an acceptable level. So with older workers, building more ergonomic machines so that they don't have the repetitive stress and the musculoskeletal injuries is a key point. The second part is finding out what works for them. And older people are remarkably adaptable to different ways of obtaining information. They may need to learn how to use that tablet, but you see a lot of older folks on Facebook nowadays. So I think as time goes on, they'll get more accustomed to the constant change of technology. I do think with younger people, we're seeing there's more of a tendency to want to use mobile devices, and how they use them is interesting because that creates different security threats. Like if somebody's using a tablet, you don't want them to be able to go out to the parking lot and operate a machine. So you have to identify where they are on the network and be able to remove capabilities from them at a certain point. So it's constantly a changing technology. But yeah, older workers and younger workers both need to be addressed, and they have different types of injury profiles.
I think that's so important. And a great place to close with this is to really think about your organization and look at your generational differences and how do we meet the needs of both generations at the same time. The millennials, the young workforce coming in today, you know, they need that technology piece, but they're really looking for that mentor also. And that's your aging workforce. They're a vast vessel of knowledge. They know so much. They've had so many experiences. We need to meld those two together, but we also need to manage both their risks. And too often when I ask companies, what do you do for safety? It's OSHA compliance and we measure DART rates. We really need to be more leading indicator driven now and measuring those risk metrics to make some changes. So thank you so much for coming out today. You're a wealth of knowledge. Forward to hearing another presentation from you in the future, and have a great day.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, everybody, and be safe.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.